busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk, educated educators talking education. Special producer's choice, Jacob, right there. Dr. Tim Slucker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, and Jacob, chairman of the boards. In case when you are listening to this on Friday, we are recording this on Wednesday evening, so details may emerge. But Jacob, breaking news today, right?
That is right, Tim. Usually on the Producer's Choice show, we try to do something a bit more light to end our weekends, have a little bit of fun. Unfortunately, as your producer, my job is also to get you guys to talk about important things that happen relating to education. I think anybody who follows education is looking at this today. Right-wing activist Charlie Kirk was assassinated at Utah Valley University in Utah today. Huge news, of course. We're going to cover it. Things happen on a college campus, violence on a campus especially. It's right in our wheelhouse, worth talking about. I'll just let you guys talk about it. But, Tim, do you want to share your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's a school shooting.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, it doesn't, Johnny. I mean,
there's never any justification.
No,
but sorry to cut you off, Tim.
That's
There's never going to be a time, Tim, you or I or Jacob, you know, are going to on the air or off the air condone any kind of violent act like the shooting of Charlie Kirk. And I hate saying this, but, and there's a but when you compare it to school shootings. I mean, the moral outrage and the coverage of this, and I think it's different, but it's related enough. But I mean, like, we've desensitized ourselves to children being dead and shot in schools almost on a weekly, if not every other day, kind of basis around the world, right? Certainly monthly. We could probably pull up the facts. I know this is a little impromptu. But on a regular occurrence, children are being killed in schools. Teachers are being shot at. So this is not me saying that I'm like glad or I'm any way condoning this action. But I'm also saying like, wow, imagine what would happen if last week when children were killed in, you know, Minnesota or the next school shooting. And I hate that I even have to say that. The next school shooting happens, right? I think, Jacob, I don't know if they're calling it an assassination in the news yet, if that's hit the discourse, but I think you hit the nail on the head. This is different, but it is related. It's violence in an educational setting.
If I could hop in on that, Johnny, just real quick, I didn't even think about that angle you're talking about, that this is getting a lot of attention despite shootings at schools becoming so mundane. And to your point, just today there was a shooting at Evergreen High School in Colorado, and that's really getting buried.
Yeah, thank you, Jacob.
So, and that's not by any means me saying. That's why I butted into him, because I was like, well, initially I was like, this is terrible. And I don't by any means agree with Turning Point or with Charlie Kirk. Although I do, we can get into it. We've talked about it on shows before. We've talked about like the gray area between freedom of speech and hate speech, especially in educational communities. But, you know, not that that should ever be met with extreme violence, right? And so, but at the same time, I'm like, wow, everybody is up in arms today, and most certainly it is news. But why, it's going to sound insensitive. Why are we shocked? It's a tragedy. I'm calling it that. It's awful. But I'm also just having a sobering moment of being like, man, we gun down children on the regular in this country. That's wrong. So two wrongs don't make a right. So no. I'm not saying like this is, but obviously we have a serious problem in this country about how we handle our differences.
I think you're getting at a frustration, right, Johnny? Yeah. I mean, just like that feeling like, hey, we should care about all these things. Why does it take something so different to draw our concern? I mean, we should have this level of concern
Tim made the comparison all the time. So a frustration with facts. I'll go there. It's a frustration with facts. Like you even said, there is a school shooting today in Evergreen, Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, it's becoming weekly, you know, on the regular, we're dealing with this. And that's to say, like, I do agree, Tim, I'll group them together in the context of this happened on a college campus. That is an educational setting. We've just been on the air for the last week talking about what teachers do. And one of those things is provide a safe and welcoming space. Environment for all perspectives and all learners. And so this is certainly a slap in the face of that being a reality for any student in this country.
Right.
So it's a sad moment for education. And that's not us co-signing on the viewpoints. But I am going to say, regardless of somebody's viewpoints, this kind of extreme violence is intolerable in a democracy.
Yeah, when I was saying just simple school shooting, it really wasn't. I wasn't going to take the media angle. It was just to say, yeah, kind of almost like, well, you know, here we are, you know, supposed safe space again. And wanted to point out going, you know, at the same time, a school shooting occurred in Colorado. There is no media coverage. I mean, that's a story in and of itself right there. The quote media coverage of this, as if, you know, one is necessarily more important than the other, potentially, you know,
or comparable.
Right. They're not comparable other than the fact of saying that, Johnny, I think you said these supposed safe spaces where we're to gather to talk about differences, to welcome others together, to bring about conversations that might be uncomfortable and disagreeable, that the purpose of education and teachers and spaces such as university campuses, high school classrooms, middle school auditoriums, these are those spaces that educators use to say, you're welcome here to have these conversations. And it is not true that these are safe spaces when particularly you point out, you know, and I just looking at another report today, criticism of the MAHA, you know, Make America Healthy report again, you know, fails to acknowledge the number one cause of death for children in this country is gun violence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, that's another fact in itself, right?
Right. Like, you know, and so here we are with this kind of, you know, again, is it sobering? You know, I read Diane Ravitch's blog just a little bit ago. You know, she talked about this with Charlie Kirk and she's like, you know, I didn't agree with him on anything. However, this should never happen. And then she kind of went in the direction of saying, but nothing will change because you've got a Supreme Court and a political party that has been absolutely overtaken with some belief that any conversation about guns in any way, shape, or form that talks about some type of, quote, control is verboten. You can't do it. And so here we were. And, you know, the biggest thing that struck me today following when the story happened was, you know, the thoughts and prayers people were working it hard. But how shallow is a thought in a prayer when it could have been? Did we do anything to, quote, prevent this, which doesn't have anything to do with saying it should never happen and political violence should not be tolerated? But, you know, we haven't done anything to prevent this from happening. And preliminary results or findings right now is long range shot, high powered rifle again, right?
Well, and more details are going to come out. By the time folks are listening to this Friday, we'll have more information on this. But Tim, I think what you're getting at, and I'm picking up what you're laying down, and we've had this conversation on Busted Pencils, you know, pretty frequently around academic freedom. Well, okay. About academic freedom and freedom of speech. I have been to Charlie Kirk on my campus. He came to my college campus and, you know, had one of his debating events. And, you know, I was actually, you know, in disagreement with pretty much everything in perspective he was taking. And I thought, you know, there was a critical conversation happening that borderlined like what I would call, you know, rhetoric of violence on all parties. Like the language was so turned up. And we've talked about the connection between political, like linguistical violence, like the like political language of violence leads to actual violence. That's not me saying Charlie Kirk asked for this. So I don't want you to connect any dots. I'm talking about all parties involved in these heated discussions. The language and the vitriality, if that's the word, help me out. Jacob's nodding. I think I'm close enough to the word.
I'll count that as a word.
Yeah.
Very good.
I mean, the political discourse of violence cannot be disconnected from actual violence. And this comes back around, Tim, to an education issue that we have not only on our college campuses, but around this country, and especially even in conversations, like you like to say all the time, with our neighbors, right? When the violence of language kind of boxes you in to escalation and to heated conflict, right? There will be violence. And I'm not saying that in a way to rationalize it, but just to explain, this is why we say it's not a matter of, you know, of denying someone freedom of speech. When language gets to be the level of hate or violent language, it's just a small step. And I don't have the details yet. Again, remember, we're recording this Wednesday evening, right? We're getting this unfortunate news as it unfolds. But we'll have more information. But what I'm saying is that I observed hundreds and hundreds of students attending an event on my campus, a similar kind of event, as unfortunately Utah Valley University community experienced today. And watching the videos, the world now too, right? But I what I observed was something I thought, wow, this is really difficult for everyone in attendance to be regulated. Like it's very, like it's very ramped up, it's very intense. And I saw a lot of students handling it well because they were equipped and experienced with being able to be confronted with someone who believes things very different than they do and stand side by side with peers who believe things different than they do. And I remember thinking, well, this is really impressive how well students are handling this. Now they had explained to me, oh, we've been watching this on TikTok for years. Like we kind of understand the gig and the points, and we're familiar with this group turning point. And that was me talking with students who identify with those beliefs and who oppose those beliefs. But I remember being impressed by the young people. But as an experienced person, you know, as we are adults in our community, I was thinking this would be really hard for somebody to navigate. And I'm not saying it's okay what happened. I think it's awful. But I can understand how quickly somebody may really turn this up to actual violence. And it's sad that it's happened, but it reminds me of this like political rhetoric. Discourses of violence lead to actions of violence. Right. And so to me, that's part of that sobering moment. I don't want to lose this in the mix of the tragedy. It's like, hey, we shouldn't be all that shocked at how we got here. It's awful that we're here today talking about this, but this is exactly why we're saying, hold on, we need to figure this out and we need to be better at our critical thinking and about communing together amongst our differences.
Johnny, if you look at Charlie Kirk's legacy of communication, I think he was definitely part of I will give it to him that it does take a certain level of talent and a certain level of personal bravery to do his type of communication. I mean, I've done stand-up comedy. We do what we do here. You guys get up in front of students. It does take a certain level of talent to do what he did. And Tim should unmute himself so that he can talk with us next time so I don't have to hop in.
Yeah. Oh, God, no one.
but he's part of what I would call the liberal gets destroyed genre of communication, which I think is part of how we get to the spot we're in right now, where people are violent, where rhetoric is turned up to 10, and it's not a spot we want to be in, Tim.
It's not a spot, no. And what? Yeah, thanks for. I was like, why is anybody? Why aren't they paying attention to me? Like you guys are like, yeah, thank God he's muted. We didn't want. First of all, you know, who's going to step out from behind thoughts and prayers and take a little bit of accountability for the situation and where it is and how we got here? I guarantee you nobody. No, you know, it will be it's going to be Charlie Kirk practicing free speech was taken out by a lunatic somebody who's against free speech, and it'll be simplified and all of that. And I think what you guys are pointing that it's a prediction. Yeah,
but we don't know that yet.
No, I don't know, but I can see hints of it already in the rhetoric of politicians right now who and how they're framing this, and you know, getting on social media and watching the feeds of the of you know people out there expressing their opinions that
it's a terrible moment, Tim.
It's a terrible moment. And what was happening?
I think
happening?
It's a very serious one.
It's a serious moment. And what was happening though too, let's get the framing right. None of it as an excuse, but to, you know, this wasn't critical dialogue. And I think this is kind of what Jacob was pointing at, that Charlie Kirk went to engage in when he did these. It was not critical dialogue where it was this sense of going, let me hear what you're thinking. Let me get this. It was more in the lines of going, and at some point, I'm going to figure out how to prove you wrong. There's no sense of give and take in that type of conversation. That from that same point, I mean, what was the purpose? And to think about this, and this is for ideologues on the left and right, when they are left to quote pontificate. There's no room for critical dialogue, thinking, conversation. And I want to see us start to have more of a conversation about what we, quote, call free speech and how we somehow intermix that with critical dialogue and how those are blown out. And it's like, yes, everybody has a right to free speech and to hold deeply held core beliefs and to express them and to potentially even say, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm walking away. But I think everything's getting mixed up between what it means to engage in critical, maybe even emotionally heated discussion, as opposed to pontificating about how incredibly right you are if you're an ideologue on any side, because and that's where I hear the political rhetoric more and more that I think spurs that kind of a violence approach, because there's no give, there's no take, there's no conversation in our political discussions anymore. There is no conversation.
I'm gonna just be fair for this for a minute.
Yeah,
just fair to it, because I think this is one of those important kind of moments in terms of it is the blend of free speech, but also the importance of a safe space of an academic community. And I don't mean for academics, but I mean a learning community. It's a school setting. Okay. And so that's an interesting blend. We've talked about that on shows in the past, giving legal and kind of street level definitions for academic freedom, for freedom of speech, and for school communities' responsibilities towards for the safety of all. This is the convergence of all that makes it unique.
Right.
But Tim, let's back up. It's not called a civil dialogue about differences. It's not even called pontification from people on the right and people on the left. It's being called, by and large, in this current moment and leading up to this moment, as a culture war.
Yeah.
So let's just take this, the prominent, I meant, remember, words eliminate certain things and they hide other things. And I'm telling you, a war language is just a slight step from acts of war. So this is very much a, like Jacob is saying, it feels like it's, again, it's Wednesday evening, folks. Mm-hmm. You're listening to this on Friday. There's going to be a whole unfolding of things for us to learn from and to take action in response to. But at the moment, it feels a lot like, you know, being in a war. If you speak on a particular political view, which you have freedom of speech to do, right? And you are killed for that. That is political. That is a form of a political assassination. Now we're going to get into in the next couple of days, is that true? Is that applicable to this scenario? Is this, you know, we're going to find out all kinds of details. But what I'm saying is, like, when I attended this event at my campus, students knew in advance. University talked about what kind of event it was going to be. Students were familiar on both sides of the beliefs to the middle of, like, I'm just not sure what it is. I'm going to check it out, right? But they understood that it wasn't billed as a listening session. Mm. It was like, Charlie Kirk's coming to our campus and he's a great listener, right? No, it was like he engages in almost a theater of debate and of crushing his opponents, which I'm going to be honest about is appealing to both sides.
Yes, it is.
Of political ideologues. It doesn't model the kind of like deliberation and, you know, conversation that we would maybe romanticize about. But I'm saying that I don't think that it's necessarily an awful thing to have some viewpoint, right? That's different than the viewpoint you may have or share or believe in. But when it's all framed in the larger discourse of a culture war.
Yeah, that's the point.
That term war and the vitality of like winning at all costs, or in, like Jacob said, frustration with like deep, deep, you know, anger and maybe even a tinge. And I don't know the facts yet, but I expect that for someone to do this kind of thing, there is some level of, you know, possible mental health or instability or at least dysregulation going on, because no disagreement should end in, you know, being shot. That's absolutely intolerable in any, you know, in any context. So, you know, it's a sad moment, but it's the convergence of these things, Tim, that I'm like really wanting us to be mindful of when you have freedom of speech, which is an important thing, but you also have safety of all of those on a in a learning space. This is a convergence of really interesting things that I will say for the better part of the last decade, campuses have been grappling with and have been really trying to say, hey, this is dangerous, whether it's particular, you know, speaking out against acts of genocide, whether it's, you know, politics of any kind of like reproductive rights. There's been a lot of issues on campuses where campuses have had to deal with how do we ensure safety for all members, for all participants, this being a learning space. You know, so my heart, you know, I am going to give thoughts and prayers, Tim.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to the Utah Valley community. It goes out to every college student in the world right now, but especially in North America, right? Who the message is pretty clear. If you have a political view, you better keep it to yourself.
Keep it.
Or harm could be done to you. It's no, you know, and so that's a very sad moment, because that is, Tim, when these acts of violence do lead to taking away freedoms of speech on all sides. And I worry about that. So I don't want to blame the students of Utah. I don't want to blame people who disagree with Charlie Kirk. I don't want to blame Charlie Kirk. I think we have collective responsibility to say, how can we do better, especially in these overlapping contexts of where freedom of speech come into collision with the importance of providing a safe and welcoming learning environment for all students, for all teachers, for all people as part of that. Our universities, our schools should not be sites of death for sharing views. or sites of death for attending. So I'll group in school shootings with this, as you brought up earlier. But that's just kind of where I'm at today.
Yeah. Jacob, it's your show. Well, it's you interviewing us, but yeah, special
it's
show.
It's Audible given, producer's choice.
Giving you the last words before we head into the moment.
So, Tim, Johnny, as a producer, part of my job here at Civic Media is monitoring interactions with our listenership, communicating to hosts what the people listening have to say, whether it's the text line or we've got the calls coming in, you screen calls, comments on social media. I get to see what the people are saying. And one thing that sort of disturbed me today was that all of us on the content side, with the hosts, the producers, I felt like we were all having the right thing to say in this moment, which is political violence is never acceptable and that we denounce this. But when I was looking at what the people in air quotes had to say, if they were conservative, they were less sad that Charlie Kirk was killed than they were mad that this is what the left is doing. The left is trying to take people out. They're out to get Donald Trump. They're out to get Charlie Kirk. And I saw from people who I probably agree with on a lot of things, say things like, well, Charlie Kirk was a Nazi and I'm not sad he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that really kind of scares me for where we're going. That political violence is becoming just part of the game for a lot of people. Was it a guy on my side who did it? Was it a guy on my side who is the victim of it? Where do you guys think we can go to de-escalate this situation? What would you say to young people who are starting to view these issues in that war side of culture war?
Wow. Yeah, I think there has to be a reality of acknowledging what you just laid out there, Jacob. And that was a little bit of what I was referring to in quote, some of the other stuff I was looking at on top of the news is that the comments coming in, which, you know, again, do comments represent the views of the people? I don't know, but they were, you know, there was no middle ground in those comments that it was, yes, you know, my God, you know, this is what happens. You know, the left are the true Nazis, and they've now proved it today. And, you know, then people on the left, particularly one that I was really disturbed by, I don't know if anybody's seen the Substack called God, where, you know, this person or whoever who tries to be the voice of God and the voice of God today in the Substack was celebrating, you know, and yeah, you sit there and go, okay, how do you bring those two groups of people together? I don't know. However, I will then kind of move that into thinking that actually to be participating that way does also potentially not represent my classroom when I go into a university setting, to a campus, that there's a sense of going like, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make thoughts about this. And I think we have to just kind of even do what we're just doing here right now, which is have this type of conversation that acknowledges is the kind of realities of being like, those extremes. This is my point right now. And I said, maybe by Friday and maybe next week when we dig into this a little bit more, which I'm sure we will, I may have different thoughts, but I mean, extremism on both sides. And then as Johnny really strongly, powerfully points out, within what now we all have decided is a war, a culture war, boy, it's not surprising. And then put in there the political reality that access to firearms in this country is obscene. And so to believe that nothing would ever happen, it's just insanity. So I don't have a great answer for that right at this moment, Jacob.
I guess if I was to say the first thing, Jacob, I would do, and you know, I'll be in class tomorrow doing this. The first thing I would do is I'll apologize to my students for the moment that they're in. I'm just going to hold some space for the one. Mm-hmm. It's a terrifying moment. It's a scary one. It's people of my generation owe an apology to those in classrooms now for the context that they're inheriting. This is a failure of previous generations to work together. It's escalated. It goes years and years back. And so the first thing I do is I'm going to apologize. And then I'm going to turn to my job as a teacher, which we've got a great show tomorrow. Listeners, if you tune into the broadcast or grab the podcast, you'll get with Randy Weingarten. And we talked a little bit about it in class and session, you know, that dropped this morning. But as a teacher, it's my job to teach critical thinking. And I'm going to draw from Howard Zinn.
Mm.
In war, there are no winners.
Mm-hmm.
So to celebrate this act is absolutely, you know, disgusting to me. I can understand it politically. I can understand it in the context of a war, which I hate that we're in, and I'm apologizing to students for our generation's failure, you know, to not stop this before they inherited it. But it's my job to teach critical thinking. So let's think about the moment we're in, and let's really think about that peace is not passivity. And in war, there are no winners. Peace is not being weak. Peace is not giving up. Peace is part of a process of even within reason, civil disobedience. Mm-hmm. It's about figuring out how we exist together, right? So that's part of the critical thinking. Invite them to that critical thinking, apologizing for my generation's, you know, responsibility for this, whether I am part of it or not. Like, you have to really kind of have some humility. The other thing is say, like, we all as teachers have to have a deeper commitment and a louder voice towards a safe and welcoming learning environment for everyone. That's not right wing. That's not left wing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not any particular set of ideology other than in learning spaces, we come together, right? Maybe we should also extend that to in our healthcare system and maybe in our religious freedoms. Like, you can go and convene with people who have similar faiths as you in this country. Well, you could go to a safe learning space, and we've got a lot of work to do on that. The other thing is to be present at the opportunity. Like, we as teachers, Randy Weingarten wrote about it, said, we make and create opportunities. So I'm going to take the responsibility that I believe I've always taken, but with even more gusto as I go into teaching, to create opportunities to practice peace, right? To really talk through these differences, it's not about shutting up. It's not also about being right. It's about learning to be in that critical space together. And then I'm going to commune with others, educators around the country. I mean, really around the world, but especially our country right now, whether it's college campuses or school classrooms, that it's not safe. It doesn't feel safe. And that, you know, if this is so-called like a war that we're in, well, how do you get out of a war, right? You propose peace, right? And so we need to really begin peace dialogues, hold space for the grief, take responsibility, approach it with humility, and have tough conversations with one another about how we work towards peace. Because just like I said, a language of political violence leads to violence. A language and a dialogue of political peace leads to peace. So, Jacob, that's kind of where I'm at with your, you know, pretty heavy 60-seconder, and we each took a few minutes on it. But I appreciate you, Jacob, as a producer, as part of a, you know, local radio and a national podcast and everything, to take responsibility to say, hey, we have fun on Fridays, but not every Friday is fun. And in fact, this week is a heavy one. And it's our responsibility, not only as members of the media, but but as members of a democracy, as concerned citizens, to have a dialogue about peace. So I appreciate you calling an audible today, Jacob, and for all that you do to bring this great program out to our listeners. Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. Tim, do you have any closing thoughts before I give you that thing to do?
You know, what Johnny said, keep that there. And, you know, everybody, peace. Yeah. Think about it, breathe it, feel it. And, man, practice. Let's do a little bit of practicing because, as Johnny says, if we're in a world of war, it's going to be really hard to kind of find some places of salvation and shelter. I end up getting cheesy, Jacob.
Well, thank you, Dr. Hey. Tim Slecker. Oh, Johnny, did you have something to say?
I was just going to say, Tim, you could sum it up. We love music, and I think John Lennon said this.
I was just going to say, give peace a chance.
I mean, okay, things are kind of a muck right now. What have you got to lose? Give peace a chance.
You went there for me.
I did it for you. I got
you. You read my brainwaves. I was like, John Lennon said, give peace a chance. And then I went, don't say that. That sounds. Anyway, Jacob.
Tim Slecker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, thank you very much for being guests on your own show. I always love talking to you guys. And I think I speak for all three of us when I say that we encourage people to remember that means are an end into themselves and to reject violence and reject violence when you see others do it. And we extend our condolences to the families, not just to Charlie Kirk, but also, of course, to the children who were killed today in Colorado. And with that, Tim, I think there's time for something.
And now it's time for your moment of zen. How can you have a war on terrorism when war itself is terrorism?
Well, hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Ed Relevant News. It's hard to get all amped up and do this WWE style when, you know, it is a heavy and somber moment and a difficult way to end a week. But it's also a reminder and an invitation for all you educators out there, for all you pencil busters, to keep doing what you're doing. And like we said at the end of the show, just give peace a chance. It's important. Teach about it, talk about it, practice it. And if you want more Busted Pencils content, well, you can always find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, follow everything on Civic Media website. They got great things to say. Or you can always connect with us at bustedpencils.com. Hey, and we'll see you next week for Homeroom on Monday. And be sure to tune in for Class in Session on Wednesday. And if you don't already know, well, you're going to love it. This weekend's episode of The Broadcast with Randy Weingarten is going to be beautiful. Catch it. And you can catch that at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep on busting them pencils.